You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is disgusting. This makes my blood boil. This is personal to me and so many Americans in this country. As you know, Jim, I am an immigrant, and there, but for the grace of God, go I and my family. This administration is on this. They are processing these folks at the border. And this is what is so vile, twisted, and corrupt about what these governors are doing. The Border Patrol and DHS agents that process these folks have now let them go, and they were going to go to where their family members were. That processing occurred. They are now being lied to. These governors are being deceitful. They are acting akin to human traffickers and abductors.
Oh my God, that's a reference to Governors DeSantis and Abbott. This is September 19, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA. Go to rumble.com. You'll find us at Larry Connors USA on the search engine. You punch rumble.com, you'll enter in Larry Connors USA. You'll find previous postings, and you'll find where to watch us live. Join us in studio as I speak. Reminding you also, all programs will later be posted at rumble.com in case you missed them, video. And if you want the audio, larryconnorsusa.com. So that was Maria Cardona, a Democrat strategist appearing on CNN with Jim Acosta. And she's saying it's so vile, it's so nasty what these governors are doing. They're lying to these illegals, and they're involved in human trafficking. The woman has been asleep. She has not noticed that 2 million-plus illegals have been coming into the country pretty much since Biden's watch. We don't know where half of them, we don't know where many of them are. Let me put it that way. And we're not fully processing them. And sometimes they just come across the border and we're never even communicating with them. So the other day, as you well know now, Governors Abbott and DeSantis have been stepping up. You know what? These blue cities, these blue sanctuary cities and states, let them have more of them. Let them understand what it's like to be on the border. And of course, New York City, after about 8,000 illegals were bused to New York City, Eric Adams is saying, my God, we can't handle this. It's too much. That's New York City. 8,000 compared to thousands crossing daily across the border of Texas, Arizona, and elsewhere along our southern border. And then when DeSantis flew 50 of the illegals into Martha's Vineyard the other day, one of the ritziest zip codes of the nation, oh my God, they're here. They're in our backyard. Well, you would have thought maybe Obama would come running out to greet the planes and offer them a place to stay. His mansion has at least 12 different bedrooms. He's got plenty of room on the grounds to camp folks out. Nope, they didn't. And they lied to you saying that we're here and protecting and taking care of them. No, they did not. They did the best they could to get them off as fast as they can. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, by the way, they will call them constantly migrants, not illegals. They are illegal. Democrats still trying to shame DeSantis and Abbott for moving them in. My guest today, John LaBoutière, on the Martha's Vineyard story. John is, of course, a former New York congressman, a Reaganite, not a Trumper. I want to get his reaction to the illegals going into Martha's Vineyard, how they were handled. Also, the New York governor's race, Lee Zeldin. Is it possible a Republican become the governor of New York? And Biden's 60-minute interview. I want to get John LaBoutière's response to that. In that interview, Biden said U.S. would defend Taiwan if attacked by China. Immediately after the interview, the White House started backpedaling, starting CYA, in other words, CY Biden's arse. U.S. policy has not changed, he insisted. Our guest today, Gordon G. Chang, China expert, he'll react to Biden and the latest China threat to Taiwan. Biden, by the way, said in that same interview, inflation is not that bad. Not that bad. Suffer. just suffer. And he also said COVID is over. Well, that's a pronouncement, but they continue to push vaccines left and right, don't they? Clinton's looking to make big cash again. Big cash, a Clinton Global Initiative meeting today for the first time since 2016. It all ended when Hillary launched her presidential campaign after allegations that we're sucking in money because people and countries and corporations were expecting to get a little favor if she became president. Well, that failed. But now they're ramping up again. Send your dollars. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Mr. President, as you know, last Tuesday, the annual inflation rate came in at 8.3%. The stock market nosedived. People are shocked by their grocery bills. What can you do better and faster?
Well, first of all, let's put this in perspective. Inflation rate month to month was just an inch, hardly at all.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it is good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not. I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months it hasn't spiked. It has just barely, it's been basically even.
Is the economy going to get worse before it gets better?
No. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. That was President Biden in the interview, 60 Minutes interview with Scott Pelley. Good question. And, of course, immediately Biden said, well, my God, it's up a fraction. Yes, it went from 8.2% to 8.3%, 0.1%. But an economic variance and the magnitude, that's a big number. And again, it's a 40-year high, a new 40-year high. Larry, what was the inflation rate in 2019, when Trump was still in office? Well, the average was 1.8%. But I'm going to give you the worst-looking number. That was from December. And, of course, we were in the midst of COVID and everything at that point. 3.5% in December of 2019. 3.5%. We were above 5% more than we were then. No, it didn't just suddenly happen. It happened since Biden took over. It didn't just happen in 1 month. It happened over numerous months, beginning pretty much with his first signature on an executive order canceling the Keystone Pipeline, shutting down oil and gas leases, and everything else that could make you suffer. Want you to suffer? So you had to go buy green cars. Oh, if you can afford them. If you can't, you're going to suffer more. We're not going to do anything to help you. But here's Biden insisting, it's not that big of a deal. He's not living in your world. You know that. He's not living in your world. He hasn't been buying any groceries. As long as he's got his ice cream, he's going to be happy. CNBC Squawk Box host Joe Kernan was pressing the White House Council of Economic Advisers member, one of them, about how the Biden administration continues, quote, to reject any blame for high inflation. And Kernan pointing out, look, your Biden administration rejects any blame. We're just talking about in 40 years blaming on supply chain issues from the pandemic. Yet at the same time, you take credit for creating 10 million jobs, which was a direct result of reopening the pandemic after the pandemic. You also take credit for reducing the deficit by $1.7 trillion, never acknowledging it was simply from not spending those emergency sums that we spent dealing with the pandemic, which you admit caused the inflation. I guess that had to do nothing with these other two factors. It seems like, this is Kernan again from CNBC to the White House counsel officer, it seemed like you guys want it both ways. Nailed it. Nailed it. The response, this president put in place a set of policies that fixed the economy. I'm sorry. I would try to go through this without laughing. This president put in place a set of policies that fixed the economy, put it on a better path, and got jobs back. He's right. They have won it both ways. No, Mr. President, you're right. It did not happen overnight. It happened since you began your watch. But you want some good news that came out of the 60 Minutes interview with Biden? On that interview, Biden was shown touring the Detroit Auto Show. And, of course, the main lead there to not look at the gas cars, but see what Detroit is doing about building more electric cars. Have you noticed how many ads you're seeing running for electric vehicles, be they low-end or high-end? Low-end is still high-end compared to gas cars. Make a note of that. I saw that Mercedes has out an SUV electric. Oh, I can't wait to get that. See how far I can get with the SUV on that one, right? But Kelly said, this is the first Detroit show, anchor Scott Pelley said, Mr. President, this is the first Detroit auto show in 3 years. Is the pandemic over? And Biden said, and I'm quoting, the pandemic is over. It's over. Oh, but he said, we still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it, but the pandemic is over. And then he added, if you notice, no one's wearing masks. Well, actually, you do see a lot of people still walking around masked, but that's their choice. To me, it looks silly. Maybe it does to you, but for those of you who feel that a need to wear it, I'm really not going to laugh at you. I mean, that's your choice, and I think that's what you should do if you think you need to. But again, Biden says the pandemic is over. Then we come to an issue about Taiwan and China. And ever since Russia went into Ukraine, all concern has been China watching Russia do this and what the U.S. is or is not doing. We saw the troops mobilizing around Ukraine, around the borders, for months, and we did nothing. We didn't start sending in arms at that point. We didn't send anything in at that point, really. In fact, we pulled our people out of there, get them out of the embassy and protect Americans, get them away from the border area more to the west, and eventually out of Ukraine entirely. And then once the war started, well, we thought if we send stuff in now, it's going to look like we're escalating it. So we had to use back channels and all kinds of gimmicks to get some additional weapons and supplies when we could have done it earlier, if we had had any leadership in the White House, the Pentagon, Chiefs of Staff. Nobody was doing anything. Or if they tried to, they got stopped by the Biden White House. And, of course, China has been buying Russian oil. 50% increase in buying Russian oil. So they still have money coming in for their war effort. And China continues to eye Taiwan. So there's the question for Scott Pelley and the president regarding Taiwan.
What should Chinese President Xi know about your commitment to Taiwan?
We agree with what we signed on to a long time ago. And that there's a one China policy, and Taiwan makes their own judgments about their independence. We are not moving, we're not encouraging their being independent. We're not, that's their decision.
But would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
After our interview, a White House official told us U.S. policy has not changed. Officially, the U.S. will not say whether American forces would defend Taiwan. But the commander-in-chief had a view of his own.
So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion?
Yes.
That's pretty solid, isn't it? Yes. Now, does that specifically mean boots on the ground or over-the-horizon type capabilities? Or what does it mean? You're not going to get a definitive answer of this president. And in fact, to that extent, everyone's been asking and wondering, is he going to run again? Is he? And a lot of Democrats are very anxious about this for several reasons. One, what the hell can he run on that looks good? That's why many Democrats are running in tight races. They do not want Biden coming to their campaign. They are hoping Obama will show up, and he might. But they're not that big on Biden coming in. And, of course, VP Harris says, well, I will be with Joe if he runs again. And you have to ask, is she really saying that, or is she just kind of playing the game again? But the question certainly needed to be posed by Scott Pelley, and it was.
It's much too early to make that kind of decision. I'm a great respecter of fate. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing my job. I'm going to do that job. And within the time frame that makes sense after this next election cycle here, going into next year, make a judgment on what to do.
You say that it's much too early to make that decision. I take it the decision has not been made in your own head.
Look, my intention, as I said to begin with, is that I would run again. But it's just an intention. But is it a firm decision that I run again? That remains to be seen.
Did you get everything you need there? So for those who thought he couldn't possibly run again, could he? I mean, he seems to be so absent on so many things anyway. I mean, maybe even at the White House, they say, where is he? Well, he's wherever he wants to be, and he's the commander-in-chief and the president, and he will go do what he wants to, when he wants to, as he chooses to. Except when it comes to having, quote, a news conference with reporters, and he said, oh, I see your hand. I'd like to call you, but I have to go by the names they have here for me. In other words, he's scripting his interviews with the press generally. So that tells you he's not really going to be in command. He's going to be the puppet. And some, of course, are raising some very big questions about his mental capabilities as to what can he actually do. Now, much less trying to run again in two years from now, not today, but in 2+ years. The age is a question for Biden.
Mr. President, you are the oldest president ever.
Pretty good shape, huh?
Which leads to my next question. You are more aware of this than anyone. Some people ask whether you are fit for the job. And when you hear that, I wonder what you think.
Watch me. And maybe, honest to God, that's all I think. Watch me. If you think I don't have the energy level or the mental acuity, then you know, that's one thing. It's another thing of just watching and, you know, keep my schedule. Do what I'm doing. I think that, I don't, when I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, I don't have them saying, wait a minute, what are you saying? You know, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, that old expression, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. I mean, I respect the fact that people would say, you know, you're old. And, but I think it relates to how much energy you have and whether or not the job you're doing is one consistent with what any person of any age would be able to do.
How would you say your mental focus is?
Oh, it's focused.
Okay, it's focused. I can answer your questions. Is that not good enough? Well, of course, the other thing I'm glad that Pelley did raise, and I criticized this interview the other day based on some of the stuff they sent out, and that was talking about his son, Hunter, pointing out that Hunter has been a lightning rod for suspicion. Biden's response, immediate.
I love my son, number one. He fought an addiction problem. He overcame it. He wrote about it. And no, there's not a single thing that I've observed at all from that would affect me or the United States relative to my son, Hunter.
Not a single thing that he's observed. How could you possibly ignore what was on the laptop from hell? You can't, unless you live in Biden's world. And he's surrounded by those who bow down to him and kiss his shoes as he walks through and say, yes, your emperor. Everything out there has been indicating that there's so many ties, so many questions. But, of course, you're not going to see the Democrats do anything about it. They're going to continue to pound January 6th to death. They've got a clear scandal under their nose. They won't do anything about it. And, by the way, speaking about his ability, mental capability, Congressman Ronny Jackson, Republican of Texas, served as White House physician for Presidents Bush, Obama, and Trump, said Joe Biden's condition appears to be worsening. That's his opinion. Now, dealing with these illegals across the nation, especially going to Martha's Vineyard, that story still front and center. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The migrants, including children, who arrived in Martha's Vineyard were misled about where they were being taken and what would be provided when they arrived is also deeply alarming. The children Governor Abbott abandoned in Martha's Vineyard, the children that Governor DeSantis abandoned as well, deserve better. They deserve better than being left on the streets of D.C. or being left in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, my God, leave me in Martha's Vineyard. Abandon me in Martha's Vineyard. Either she has no idea, or, of course, she's got to do the spin for the White House and the libs. Sending illegals to Martha's Vineyard was like dumping them in deep South Chicago, in crime-ridden Detroit, in San Francisco littered with feces. But no, not Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard, one of the richest zip codes in the nation, and they have something like 16,000 permanent inhabitants. They got about double that amount of housing, so half the houses are vacant most of the time. And while they say they could not help out 50 illegals sent up by DeSantis, we don't have provision, we don't have help, they've got rooms everywhere. They handle 100,000 plus during the peak tourist season. They can handle 50 more illegals. I hope DeSantis continues sending them up there, one way or the other. I don't care, because it just reemphasizes how these people get all their panties in a tight wad, because it's not, yeah, we're all blue sanctuary, we're all for it, but not in my backyard. They want you to suffer, and you border towns, just tough luck. You shouldn't live down there. You should live in Martha's Vineyard. So actually, we were sending them to a much better life than they'd had anywhere or would have anywhere else. And you know what the Martha's Vineyard people did? They said, we will take care of them. We'll do everything. No, they didn't. They called the governor, who has an R behind his name, not necessarily a Republican, but has the R, and he immediately dispatched 150 National Guardsmen to help get those 50s off the island and into a nearby base in Cape Cod. And as they were leaving, some folks gathered to, as they left to get on the bus and hugged and kissed them, like, oh, my, it's such a short, brief stay. We're so sorry you're going. And then they would probably turn and smile. Thank God they're gone. I'm looking at a piece written by Mark Hemingway with The Federalist, and he points out something I think is extremely interesting. He said, when Republican governors send 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard, it's a humanitarian crisis. When 51 migrants who were encouraged to cross the border by Democrats die in the back of a truck, that's just a statistic. And that's right. You're going to hear the Democrats. We're going to spend more time on this in the next hour. But you're going to hear them lash out and say it's satanic the way DeSantis and Abbott are acting and tricking these people. All these illegals came to our border and across because the Biden administration had said, border's open. Oh, now they're trying to say it's secure and it's closed, but they know better. And here's the more important big part of this story yet to develop. A Department of Homeland Security intel report received by Border Patrol instructing agents to look for Venezuelan inmates coming into the U.S. Now, these were released by the Venezuelan government, the dictator Maduro, purposely freeing these inmates, some convicted of murder, rape, and extortion, letting them join with caravans, making their way to our southern border, and then, of course, into the U.S. of A. This is very similar to what Fidel Castro did at one point, open up the jail cells, put everybody on boats, send them to South Florida. Many turned out to be good citizens and have done a good to others. They were political prisoners, so they weren't not going to cause problems here. But if they are convicted of murder, rape, and extortion, some are being freed from Venezuela, I don't expect their habits to change by the time they get here. Do you? And all of these folks that, again, cry out, this is not right that you ship these people up there, then why don't you step up and offer your home, your business office, as a shelter? I'm sorry. That would involve actually getting involved instead of complaining about it. Coming up, you want to hear from John LeBoutier, former New York Congressman, Reaganite, not a Trumpite, about what he thinks about this and other stories. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always a pleasure to have my next guest. He's always candid, never holds back. John LeBoutier, former New York congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America. He is a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter. As always, John, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be back with you. How are you?
It's been a while. Yeah, good. We got a lot of subjects to cover here, and I'd like to get your reaction to several things. Let's begin with the Joe Biden interview yesterday on 60 Minutes, and specifically of what he said about we would do with Taiwan if they invade, that we would, the U.S. would rush to their defense. Your thoughts?
Well, he's answered this question at least four times this way as president, the same answer every time.
Right.
I know it seems odd, but it's planned out. They are telling Beijing, we're going to defend Taiwan. Don't try it. you will engage the United States militarily if you do it. Even though it's the rest of the White House afterwards says, well, you know, it's a little less certain that we'll defend them. So, but it's done on purpose, and other presidents have done the same thing. It's to put doubt in President Xi's mind over what would America do. Because they don't want to, they want Taiwan, but they don't want a hot war with the United States. They can't win that war.
And to that extent of not giving your enemy your details of what you would do, I'm in full agreement. I don't think you need to lay everything out and say, we will do this, A, B, C. I think that's wrong. So you're right. He has done it numerous times. But so you didn't see anything new in that. And the fact that the White House had to come out and kind of dance around it again, it just makes it more confusing for the American people, which I also wonder if it makes it confusing to China and Taiwan.
Well, that's the point. Well, not Taiwan, but I think we have a treaty, the Taiwan Relations Act, which requires us to defend Taiwan. And we have naval forces in Taiwan most of the time. It's not quite the same as Ukraine. We did not have any treaty with Ukraine. And from the day one, Biden made sure there were no military, no diplomatic, nobody was in. We took everybody out of Ukraine to prevent us getting in a hot war with Russia. This is a little different, and I think they're doing it this way on purpose, and I think it'll work, and I don't think Xi would dare engage the United States in a hot war, as I said.
Well, we can pray. That's true. Now, moving to a more domestic issue. Yep. Your Martha's Vineyard illegals. I'm sure you've been to Martha's Vineyard a few times.
I actually have not. I've been
to
Nantucket.
Oh, really? I'm surprised. Okay. I haven't either. Yeah.
Never been.
But it appears they have more than enough space to take care of 50 if they can handle 100,000 tourists during the height of the tourist season. But it looked to, by everything they were saying, no, we just can't. This is a humanitarian crisis you've dumped on us. Your reaction?
Well, the overall picture is everything to do with our legal and illegal immigration issue is a mess under either party when we're in power. It hasn't gotten better, and it hasn't gotten fixed. But I don't think in the long run, what DeSantis and Abbott have done, and I like to come on your show and talk, you know, political analysis first, and I will. But secondly, there's the human cost of it. And these are human beings. The ones who went to Martha's Vineyard have just escaped Maduro's regime, which is a wicked communist Cuba-like, Castro-like regime. And these people escaped from him. And I don't think they should be used as pawns in a chess game. And the chess game, let's understand it, has nothing to do with the federal government. And it acts like they do. This is DeSantis versus Abbott running for the Republican nomination in 2024. They're both gambling that Trump will be gone. And they are the two leading contenders. And they each try to outdo each other with these stunts.
Let me break it
down. That's what it is. It's a stunt, and the people
using
them as pawns.
You don't think the Biden administration been using them as pawns, saying, come on in, we want to get you in, and we're not vetting, not properly vaccinating
in
the beginning?
They're not doing it.
Well, I mean, they're using them as pawns as well, right? They're looking to get votes.
No.
I'm sorry?
No, there are no votes in people coming from Venezuela.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You're right. It shouldn't be.
No, they don't vote. They don't vote. These people are being used, and you hear it on the right, people chortling when Abbott sends 5 busloads of people to Kamala Harris's house.
All right, well, let's look at it this way. Let me look at it another way.
Wait a second.
All right.
Let's look at it this way. What about the people on the bus?
Okay.
How about the people on the plane? They're human
beings.
Well, my God.
Yeah, and they got to a wonderful place in Martha's Vineyard. They were not dumped in a slum somewhere. So it wasn't really dumping them.
By the way, they're not in Martha's Vineyard.
No, because Martha's Vineyard said, get the military in here and get them out of here. We don't want them here.
What it does underscore. Republican governor.
Yes, he has an R behind his name.
Governor of Massachusetts took
right.
them. He's a Republican.
He has an R behind his name. You're right.
I'm sure he didn't appreciate it.
Now, the other thing, though,
my point is It's a political act by two Republican governors who are running against each other.
Well, how about this part? John, how about this? Do you not agree that it shows this so-called Blue City sanctuary would welcome all illegals all the time? We'll take care of them. And New York City is crying out after getting 8,000. D.C. says we can't handle them. Martha's Vineyard can't handle 50. And the border towns are being assailed on a daily basis with twice as many constantly. And yet the Blue Cities are showing what? Truth or just more lies?
Well, I think hypocrisy. The Blue Cities, of which I live outside New York, obviously, under de Blasio, declared itself a sanctuary city. And what that meant was, if you were an illegal in New York City, New York City left you alone and did not arrest you and send you back or deport you or report you to the feds. And it ticks off the rest of the country that these blue states and cities have one set of rules for illegals, whereas the rest of the country has a different set of rules. And it is hypocrisy, I agree.
And it is costly. They can't handle it any better than New York City. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to spend some time on the New York governor's race. Lee Zeldin, you and I talked about before, the latest polling numbers show that he's extremely close, or maybe I haven't seen the latest. Is he actually tied with Hochul at this point?
I haven't seen one that hasn't tied. I've seen a range of 13 points ahead for Hochul to 6 points ahead for Hochul. It's a Democratic state. There are way more Democratic voters than Republican. If he's within 6 points, that's pretty damn good with 2 months to go.
Now,
actually, 7 weeks tomorrow.
Now, I understand that.
I don't think he can win. But I don't rule it out.
Oh, okay, I was wondering. I know you.
They have an ad running against them, Larry. That is amazingly devastating, and this is what's hurting Republicans in a lot of races in the state, around our country, which is he voted all in on this abortion stuff, including no exceptions for the life of the mother or rape or incest, and they're using that in this race, and it is killing him politically, and he hasn't rebutted it. It's a position Republicans have fallen into, and it's hurting them.
Yeah, and many Republicans, they are against abortion, but they look for exceptions in some cases like that. I'm looking at a piece also, this is on a Newsweek, suggesting that the big issue for him is, will Donald Trump's continued presence hurt his effort in New York? In other words, if Trump would go away and simply say, I'm not going to be involved. But has Zeldin courted Trump at all? I mean, did he have a link up with him?
He had a fundraiser, right?
Yeah.
He had a big fundraiser over on the Jersey Shore 10 days ago with Trump. And this commercial I mentioned, which I see it five times a day. I mean, they're running it like crazy.
Wow.
It begins with Zeldin voting after the insurrection still to overturn the election, and shows him standing there with Trump at some event, and then it goes into the abortion thing. So in a 30-second ad, man, they pack in these two things, Trump and abortion, on which Zeldin's on the wrong side of both for a blue state.
All right.
Blue state or not, people are not happy with crime. They don't love Biden, and they don't love inflation. So that's what's powering Zeldin a little bit.
All right. That pretty well wraps it for us. John, is always glad to talk with you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Larry. I hope we do it again
soon. Yes, sir, we will. John LeBoutier, as always, appreciate it. Very candid in his remarks. I love it. So coming up, protecting your kids again. You cannot look away for what some schools will try to do with your children when you're not watching, or even if you are watching. Stand by. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood. lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli C will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Counting Country, and Clayton.
Mustang salad. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One of the two reasons I really enjoy having this program is not simply to deal with politics and the issues of the day. We certainly do that. But I also look sometimes for some insight and also maybe some teaching and some review of history to remember where we are, where we got, how we got here, and what passed before us. But the other two issues that I've taken strongly, that God's directed me to make sure you use this program, that one is protect the unborn. And that's why we continue on this program to hammer away at abortion. And I'm of the opinion in my mind that by God's providence, we had judges sitting on the Supreme Court when the last case came up that gave us a chance to wipe out Roe v. Wade as law of the land. It doesn't say you cannot have an abortion. It just says it's not under federal constitutional protection because there's nothing like that in the Constitution. It might lead to some women who would have had an abortion because it's so easy to just go 3 miles or 2 miles away to get one that maybe they think, you know, it's not just the trouble and the issue and the cost because there'd be plenty of glad to help them, but maybe they give some time to rethink and reconsider. And we might have saved millions of babies. And I pray that those children would grow up to be healthy and contribute greatly to our society that they might have been lost otherwise. And especially among the black population, because that is where abortion is hit the hardest. It is continually doing that. And other minority groups as well. Now, there are states that will have rules that will allow under certain exceptions. There's some that allow no exceptions. And I have to admit that's an area that I'm not settled on yet. I think incest, rape, there are ways that you can work around some of it, but bottom line is, look at every possible avenue before you decide to kill an unborn life. And the other issue is that is paramount for me on this program is protecting your children. Not only from pedophiles who pose and groom these kids, and they're doing it, and are enticing them with drugs and liquor, and especially fentanyl, which one taste and they could end up being dead, but what they're doing to them in schools via some of these leftist ideas of what to teach our children, to teach them that your color defines who you are. That is not true. In God's eyes, all children of all colors are the same, just as Martin Luther King Jr. had said. And the fact that you don't want kids exposed to certain material, especially sexual content material, at an age inappropriate for them. And yet drag queen shows presented at schools or public libraries and readings from books and things of this nature that are pushed to children as young as the third grade. I'm looking at a piece that was also dealing with from a school board's trying to deal with some of the parents have been upset with them on what they're presenting. This piece actually comes from, I want to give him credit. There's always a thin line between credit and blame sometimes, but he did the piece. I want to give him the recognition. That's the louderwithcrowder.com website. Has some good things on it from time to time. And he's talking about these school boards. And he said he was looking at the Carrabas or Cabarrus, the county school board, I think it is. I'm not really sure where this one is. I hadn't had a chance to research it, but he said, it looks like they're trying to get rid of their school district of filth in the library, but before reading just a short exchange from a single book in question, the board asked that the room be cleared of anyone under the age of 18. but then discuss the book, allow should it be considered or not, and the reading of the book took about 24 minutes, and that had everyone under 18 out of the room, and yet it's to go into the county school library. He said, I'm not the one to call for banning books. I'm not either. I think, you know, that, but there are times that it should be restricted to age responsible. But he said, I'm not the one to call for banning books. There's no doubt we closely guard our school libraries to ensure certain material isn't allowed. No one would disagree that there shouldn't be any hardcore pornography magazines on the shelves. Well, yes and no. Unfortunately, we reached some that are willing to accept it there. If there's hard pornography being published in magazines, they have the freedom of doing so. But putting in front of children, that's where we should say, you don't come through the door. And, of course, then you start looking at different books that have to do with a question of religion or kind of pseudo-sex in the sense that you're just kind of dancing around. You're not really talking about actual sexual activity, but petting and how it is applied and or evolves. I just want you to know that this program will continue to fight to defend your children in your class and the unborn. And, of course, patriotism for this program is key, the main ingredient. Next hour, focusing more on the illegals being shipped across the country into blue states.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.